Hi, Esther.
Hi, Anna.
Hi. Hi, Hannah. How are you?
Fine, thank you. He
good.
Hasn't.
No, I'm going to go on mute because the TV's on in the back.
Okay.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Are you the only one?
Good evening. No. I'm here, but I'm muting. No.
Okay. How are you doing, Hannah?
I'm okay. I've been baking all day, so I'm tired. But this will perk me up.
But at least you're not hungry, right?
Oh, no, I'm not hungry. Oh, well, I didn't eat. I was baking challah.
I understand. Do you remember where we are?
It was 290.
Okay. Did we do 290? No, I don't think we did, right?
No, we didn't.
Okay. So let's begin. Lashani Hud to Chabri Huishkinte Bit Hiluurkimu Hilud Hiluurkimu. Layakta Shem Yudhe Bavavhe. The Yehuda Shalim Beshem Kol Yisrael. Limud Torah Mitzvah. La Sok Torah Mitzvah. Vayahino Amadunay Elohinu Alenu Maaseya Denu Penenei Alenu Maaseya Denu Penenehu. Keja Nada Ad lahavu Yisrael b'shata Bekaimu Yisrael al tura d'sinai Itavar minayu Zuhama dehai chivratya Dehakedain bitu Yetzer hara Awameala alma Vidahu Leya Minaihu Ugdain itachidu Peilana dechaye Visalko Leela Vila Nahatu Litata. Similarly, as long as Israel did not sin, from the time they stood at Mount Sinai, the filth of the serpent was removed from them. There was a total annulment of the evil inclination in the world when Israel rejected the serpent. They clung to the tree of life, elevated, and did not go down. This means that they elevated the light of the left from below, and did not draw any light downward, which is the aspect of the tree of life. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, we know from the Torah that they journeyed to Mount Sinai and accepted the Torah, said we will listen and we will do. And we know they had preparation before receiving the Torah, because I think there was like 3 days they were supposed to separate from themselves and wash their clothes and stuff. And so I suppose all that was a rejection of the serpent and clinging to the tree of life.
That's interesting, but it doesn't really say that it's a rejection of the serpent. Is the accepting the Torah the rejection of the serpent? I don't think so.
Well, it said there was a total annulment of the evil inclination in the world when Israel rejected the serpent.
Right. So what was the action of rejecting the serpent? Crossing the river? Crossing the sea, I mean, it's the splitting of the Yamsu.
I thought it was saying we will listen and we will do.
Well, the words are we will do and we will listen. The action comes before the hearing, which is the inappropriate, it's the unusual response. Because you would normally hear first and then do.
I told you I was tired.
I understand. I'm just for those people who listen on the recording, I want to make sure. But I think it was the splitting of the Yam Suf, the breaking out of the limitations. This is the rejection of the serpent. And then they clung.
It could be part of it. I mean, that's the first step.
Yes.
But they could have gotten to the mountain and changed their minds, too.
Correct.
I mean, to me, it's just basically saying that now they're accepting Torah and they're accepting Hashem.
Well, the truth is, I'll put it on my personal level. I accept the Torah. I cling to the tree of life as best I can. But that doesn't mean I reject the serpent. He's still around. Here they're saying there was an annulment of the evil inclination. His voice was stopped. It was no longer heard. And yes, the sin of the golden calf brought him back.
Well, we aren't to that point yet. It's saying as long as Israel did not sin. So at this point, they haven't done that. They've washed, they've heard, they've died on the first commandment of hearing it, and they came back to life, and so far.
The second one, and they died again.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said, "No more, Moses, you listen." But again, those were not sins. God.
But humans. I mean, you can be not sin 1 minute, and the next minute you've done something so innocent that was a sin. I mean, it's pretty hard to say sinless.
Yeah, exactly. But that is after the tree of life. I mean, excuse me, that's after the sin of the golden calf, which brought death back into the world, brought the serpent back into the world.
But to me, we're at the mountain.
Yes, it's saying when they were at Mount Sinai, until the sin of the golden calf, there was no evil inclination. Now, if there was no evil inclination, how did the sin of the golden calf take place? And we've discussed that in other places where we understand it was because they wouldn't accept their personal actions, their need to have their own personal connection to the Creator. And there are many people in the world that still have the same attitude. Every time you go to your rabbi, not asking a question is fine, but But giving over to the rabbi or to the leaders your personal decision process. That's essentially what I think we're talking about here.
Well, I get in trouble almost every time we have Torah studies, so I have to really watch.
Well, of course, we all do. It's not a question of, oh, we're perfect and this doesn't happen anymore. When you do your work, when you make your own decisions, when you say, I don't have this information and I need to go and get someone who has that information to tell me. You don't ask them to tell you what to do, you just tell them to give you the information. And once you make your own decision, you are elevating the light of the left from below. And you're not drawing the light of the left from the downward, or any light, even the central column. You're elevating the desire to receive upward.
Okay.
When you make your own decisions, that's what I think this verse is saying. It doesn't mean that what you're saying, Hana, is incorrect. It's just I think it's different levels and different understandings of the verse.
It's very difficult when you're in with a group of about 12 people and each one of them are from different faiths and different levels of, you know, and then here comes a question or here comes a situation and you give your input and, ooh, it causes a stir, you know. Anyway.
I have experience.
You can
watch
that kind of Torah study I had Saturday.
Well, you know, the month of Shvat is...
I know. but, have those good Torah, those good Zohar commentaries that you loaded us down with this week.
Baruch Hashem.
Yeah.
Well, that's why it's important when you give your input to always say, never believe a word I say.
Well.
Verse 291. V'chaman ispak larian v'it nacharin enayhu v'chadan l'minda u'mishma u'ken hagar lon kudsha v'richu hagorin v'yat wan ishmeya Kadisha Dilayekol Lishalta'a Alayhu Hai Hivya Vilayesav Lone Bikkadmeta. Then they knew and saw the holy mirrors. Their eyes were lit, and they were happy to know and to hear. Hence the Holy One, blessed be He, wrapped them with cords made of letters from His holy name, so that the serpent could not control them and would not defile them as before. This is the secret of the ornaments that they received on Mount Horeb. Just to explain the first verse, they saw the holy mirrors.
Right, that would have been the question.
Well, one mirror is Zeranpin, and the mirror that does not shine is Malchut. Bria represents light, whereas Zeranpin just or the world of Yetzirah, is a reflecting mirror. It's reflecting the worlds above it. So that's when the term's holy mirrors. It's talking about Zerantin and Malchut.
I thought maybe they were looking at each other too, and
very
saw
nice.
Changing, you know.
Very nice. They saw changes in other people because they had changed.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very nice reading, understanding.
And then I liked a picture that the cards were like a card around their waist with a holster to hold the sword that had the letters of the Tetragrammaton. They had a weapon. The weapon of the Holy Name.
Right. Exactly. They had the protection shield.
Right.
Wouldn't put it as a weapon. It was a protection shield. And these are when you read about the ornaments that are given at Mount Sinai, Mount Horeb, and that's when Moses comes down and the people can't look at his face, that's the same idea. And also to remember that Mount Horeb is another name for Mount Sinai.
Mm-hmm.
And we really should look at what Horeb means. But I don't really see it, the spelling.
It looks like they're still calling it. No, that's Yosav. I thought it was.
Yeah, no, it's.
I thought it was Sinai again. I have a little name dictionary. Let me grab it. It might have. You could go on if you need to. I've got the speakerphone on.
Mount Horeb is like a Rav. The word Horeb, if I'm spelling it correctly or close enough, it's a Chet, and then the word Rav, Resh, Chet.
At some point in my life, I looked up all those words. Okay. It means a waster. Waster.
That doesn't make sense, does it?
No. But we know Sinai with ladder and... I'm trying to think of another meaning. There's another meaning, too.
It doesn't... The dictionary doesn't tell you how it's spelled, though, does it?
No, it's in English. It's called the Dictionary of Scripture Proper Names. It's a very old book. I've had it.
Okay.
It was one of the first books that I got. It's copyright 1909, and the third edition is 1957, so it's an old book.
Yeah, I understand. Let's read 292.
Okay.
Kei wan dechatu v'egel itavar minai hu kolinun dargin unchorin ilain v'itaburu minai hu inun hagiru mezainin di'it atru mishma ila'a kadisha v'yam shiku alai hu hivya bisha b'mil kadmin v'garmu mota l'kol alma. And because they sinned with the calf, all those supernal levels and lights were taken away from them, and all the armed cords ornamented with the holy name were retrieved. They drew upon them the evil serpent as before, and caused death to all the world. Chas v'shalom.
Mm-hmm. pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah.
They lost his mom, and death came back.
This is the kind of verse that you'll hear me say or see me write, you know, that it's clear as it is written.
Mm-hmm. But for us, because this is before, no, it's not before the Exodus of Egypt, I was thinking. That's okay, I was thinking of something else. I mean, I'm thinking of though, with Moses, with Hashem telling Moses, you know, come with me to Pharaoh. And so he was the one who was, Hashem was the one who was actually fighting Pharaoh, and Moses was his messenger. So I don't know if this is a way to put it. So the victory's been won, right?
Yes and no.
But with the grass that was along the river the other night when we read in the Zohar, and to me the grass, it said I took it to mean that it was a symbol of the hidden light, which would have been the Organuz. And I don't know, I just felt like the meaning for me was that, how can I put it, that the victory was done and that's gone away with, and we, you know, we have the Organuz today. And
Sana, let me stop you at the point where you say the victory is won, because I answered your question yes and no, and I didn't explain it further. In the spiritual system, there is a process that you win, but it has to take a process to manifest. The 17th of Tammuz is 3 weeks before the 9th of Av. The 17th of Tammuz is when the temple walls were breached. Why didn't it take immediately that they burned the temple? Because there's a process of manifestation. And that process of manifestation is essentially 3 weeks or essentially 40 days, and it has for different levels. In this case of death being defeated, it's a 40-day process. So on Mount Sinai, it was there, but that's the seed level. That's the Keter.
Okay.
And then it took 40 days for it to be permanent. But on the 39th day, he was able to fool us. And that brought him back into the world so that he wasn't really defeated, because we allowed him back in. Let's go on with 293, because that's the last verse in the set. Uvatar makiti vayar acharon v'kol b'nei Yisrael et Moshe v'hine karan or panav v'yiru mikshet ayelav tachatze makiti v'kad meta v'yar Yisrael et hayad hagadola V'kol hu, kaman zaharin, ilayin, umit naharin, v'yispaklaria, v'nachara diktiv, v'kol ha'am roim, et hakolot v'al yama, havo kaman v'la dachalin. Dikti zeli, the andehu, Levatar Tihatu Peneha Sarsur Lahawo Yachlin Lemeheme Dikti Vairu Migeshet Elav. Subsequently, it is written, and when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. Come and see, it is written before. And Israel saw the great hand. Before they all saw the divine lights and were enlightened by the shining mirror, which is there on pin, as it is written, and all the people saw the voices. And also upon the sea they saw, yet were not afraid, as indicated by the words, He is my El, and I shall praise him. But after they sinned, they could not withstand the sight of even the mediator, Moses, as it was written, and they were afraid to come near him. Questions, comments, thoughts? And just so people think that I'm looking ahead, and that's why I made the comment about Moses and his shining face. This is the first time I've read this verse. I wasn't aware it was here.
Okay, and Israel saw the great hand that was in the crossing of the sea, saying,
yes.
Hashem. Okay. And once they went back to the negative system, they couldn't even stand seeing Moses. They couldn't take it. They couldn't take the light that he was.
Right.
He was in their mirror, and they could see that they had lost it, I guess. They had lost the light.
Well, it wasn't that they had lost all of the light. They had sinned. And so they lowered themselves spiritually. We lowered ourselves spiritually because we were there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then Moses was lowered by virtue of the fact that of our action. But he wasn't lowered as far as we were. So he was still connected on that higher level, on the level of Dot. And that... that was where, why we, you know, we could not handle the light that he was revealing. And so he veiled himself so that we would be able to handle the lesser amount.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's on the physical level. There's a whole spiritual level to that understanding. It's all to talking about Moses represents Aaron Pin, and the covering over his face is the masach that goes into, that protects Malchut. The whole agreement that we had in the endless world, where the agreement is that you have to earn the light. And so Moses wearing the face covering outside of the tent of meeting is an indication, you know, though that's what the hint is, directly from the Torah, which is then mm-hmm. explained by the Ari and by Rabbi Ashlag of what is this Masach and how does it work. When we earn the light, we're rejecting the light, which is what the face covering does, but then the light flows back down to us in a way, a merciful way that we can handle.
So the covering was actually a symbol of mercy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it was a symbol of central column because there's a judgment that takes place. Did you earn this light? No, I didn't. So you lose that light. Did you earn this light? Yes, I did. and therefore the light is rejected. It's sent back up through the other nine sephirot. And when those sephirot are complete, that light is allowed to flow back down to us, but it's only going to come down to us at a level that the physical world can handle. And that's what's represented by the world that is coming, because it raises itself. Malchut raises itself along with Zerampin up to Bina. And then the light, the judgment isn't really there anymore in the same context. So have I confused you completely?
No, not really.
Good.
Just I'm way down on a level below you in understanding it. But when you say it, I understand what you're saying. So that's a good sign.
It is.
Oh, at the end of a section.
That is the end of the section. So tomorrow we'll start with 57.
Okay.
Which I don't have any idea what 57 is.
It says, "Then the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments from Mount Oreb." So that's the time. So we're getting more.
Well, let me look real quick and see if we can see how Oreb is spelled. Yeah, it's exactly. There's a Bob there, but it's essentially what I was saying.
Okay, which line? Oh,
second
I see
line.
It. Yeah, the first word, Horev.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's actually Horev represents is Gematria's 216, which is the number of letters in the 72 names. It's a number connecting to judgment.
Okay.
You all have a good evening.
Okay, you too. Thank you.
Shalom, thank you.
You're welcome. Shalom.
Thank you.
Shalom.